Good morning. It's a beautiful morning. We can do that. We can smile. Everybody getting tired of summer? I'm ready for cooler weather. Wouldn't hurt my feelings a bit. But you never know, God's full of surprises, isn't he? Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence here. Lord, open heaven for us today, Lord. Open your word for us. Help us to receive it. Open our hearts to receive it, Lord, and to receive you. The things of you, Lord. What else matters? Just the things of you. Lord, we praise you and we thank you today, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'm going to be talking about the spirit versus the flesh. Our opening scripture was in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm going to read the next couple of verses. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to be, my text for my sermon, mostly, we're going to be making reference to Romans. But it's going to be verses 16 through 25. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The works of the flesh. Flesh comes first. We see that in our lives. A lot of times that the first thought that we have about something is of the flesh, and we have to wait for the next one. The works of the flesh. They start in verse 19. You'll notice they start out small. They start out fairly minor, but they get progressively worse. And that's the way the flesh, and that's the way sin works in our lives. It starts out just very insignificant. Maybe things that God would wink at, right? You know, God doesn't wink at our sin, no matter how minor they are. But then he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. You notice it doesn't say fruits of the Spirit. If you have apples, oranges, peaches, plums all growing on the same tree, then they are all the fruit of that tree, aren't they? Works of the flesh. It's plural. Fruit of the Spirit. Where does the fruit come from? It comes from the Spirit. Where does it come from? It doesn't come from the flesh. Two different words, fruit and works. Fruit is that which is produced, that which is harvested. Works is that which labors and toils. Because there is fruit, there is a natural growth, part of a natural process. Works, on the other hand, are unnatural growth. The works are a result of toil and labor. The fruit of the Spirit, you notice that there's nine of them. And I've heard someone say, or people say, that nine is the number of the Holy Spirit because of this. Mainly because of this. If you look at it, you'll see that there's three groups of three. The first group, these are those that pertain to the Christian's relationship to God. If there are no other person in the world, if there are just you and God, they would still be the same. Love, joy, and peace. The second group, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, are those that pertain to our relationships with men, with other people. The third group, faith or faithfulness, meekness, and temperance, are those that point to the world in which the Christian life is to be lived. How we react to life with all its difficulties, all its troubles, all its struggles. In the first group of three, which is love, joy, and peace, love forms the basis of the other two. The other two, joy and peace, come from love. Everything comes from love. Similarly, these three lead to the next three, which is long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, which represents, as we said, our dealings with our fellow man. The last three are faith or faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. Love, joy, and peace will help make them possible when we're faced with the difficulties and trials of life. I'm going to go backwards. I'm going to go back to verse 17 and work back. Is that okay? It says, "For the flesh lusteth after the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Spirit and flesh strive against each other. They are devout enemies of each other. Romans 8, 6, and 7 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be." In Paul's mind and in his writings, the idea of the flesh always included the idea of sin. And the desires of the flesh, or the lusts of the flesh, were to him the desires of our sinful nature. Is there anybody here that doesn't have a sinful nature? I didn't think so. At least I was hoping not. That's the way we are, isn't it? Back in Romans chapter 7 and chapter 8, Paul in Romans chapter 7 presents the problem. And chapter 8, he provides the answer. In chapter 7, verse 14, he says, I am carnal of the flesh, sold unto sin, sold into sin. But in chapter 8, verse 2, it says, For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. In chapter 7, verse 18, Paul says, For I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. But in chapter 8, verses 9 and 11, both verses tell us that the Spirit of God dwells in us. Chapter 7, verse 23 says, I am captive to the law of sin. I am a slave to it. But in chapter 8, verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free, has set me free from the law of sin and death. Question, can we fight the flesh with the flesh? Can we fight it in our own strength? Verse 16, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, I was thinking the other day that there's very few sermons that I've ever heard that I actually remember. Is that true with just me, or is that, do you remember every sermon you've ever heard? Just a few of them stick out in my mind. And there's one I heard about 25 years ago. And basically the theme of the sermon was, if you have two dogs, the dog that you feed will be the biggest. Verse 16 talks about walking in the Spirit. And it says, if you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There's two dogs there, aren't there? There's two choices. Romans 8, verse 1 says, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. If we aren't walking after the flesh, then we won't be enticed by fleshly things, will we? So how do we do that? That's the question, isn't it? There are things that we just seem to hang on to and we just can't seem to get rid of. Things in our nature, things that we do. What's the key? What's the answer? Legalists would tell you that you have to fight. You have to strive. You have to battle. You have to take control of the flesh. You have to reach out and grab it by the throat. Right? Just say no. You want to quit drinking? Don't drink. You want to quit smoking? Stop buying them. Of course, all your friends that smoke aren't going to like that because you're going to be hitting them up for cigarettes, aren't you? But it sounds simple. I've asked this question before. Has anybody here ever gone on a fast? What's the first thing that happens as soon as you decide to fast? You get immediately hungry. You might be walking out of Golden Corral after stuffing yourself. Say, well, I think I'm going to fast. Maybe I can go back in and get some more mashed potatoes and some more of that. You get instantly hungry because that's the way the flesh reacts to the flesh. So much for doing things in our strength, right? I want to make a point clear, first of all, that I'm not saying that we have a license to sin. I don't want anybody to think that that's what I'm trying to say. But we have to remember, first and foremost, it's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, Paul said, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not fleshly, but mighty through God." Through God. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. What's our ultimate goal? It's not that we won't desire. It's that we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh, the lusts of the flesh. Is temptation a sin? No. What we do with that temptation is a sin. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So what does it mean to walk? To walk is us progressing on our journey in life, through life. What is walking in the Spirit? The Spirit isn't a path that we travel on. It's the direction that is given to us. It's the guidance with which we travel. And it's the empowerment to complete our journey. Isaiah 30:31 says, "And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." It's a still small voice. Hopefully everybody hears and listens to that voice. It doesn't shout. It speaks quietly. So how do we walk in the Spirit? Focusing on fighting our fleshly desires only strengthens them. Instead of focusing on expelling the bad, we have to focus on filling ourselves with the good. John 3:33, John the Baptist, speaking of Jesus, said, "He must increase, I must decrease." The order is very important. We don't decrease in order for Him to increase in our life. No, He increases, and the more He increases in our life, the more the things of us decrease. Sometimes our problem is nothing more than a matter of perspective. Sometimes we look at things wrong. We think we have to do. And that, like I said, that doesn't mean that we don't or shouldn't be trying to obey the law and shouldn't be following what God wants us to do. We should. But we need to fill ourselves with more of the Spirit. You mentioned a line in Scripture. I almost said a song because it is a song. "I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise." That has two meanings, actually, depending on your perspective. It tells us the attitude that we're supposed to have, but it also tells us the means by which we get into His gates and into His courts. Through thanksgiving, through praise, through filling ourselves with the things of the Spirit. Jesus said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." There's two ways of looking at that, too. We keep the commandments because we love Him. But also, the more we love Him, the more we're going to automatically keep those commandments. It's about Him. It's about filling ourselves with Him instead of the things of the world. Will there be a struggle? Yeah. Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight. It's not a contradiction. The main battle is not to contain the flesh, but to maintain the presence of the Spirit. By maintaining the presence of the Spirit, then the flesh will be contained. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, Paul warns against quenching the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30, Paul warns against grieving the Spirit. What's the difference? Quenching the Spirit is the things that we do against God. Grieving the Spirit are the things that we do against our fellow man. We need to be always careful that we're not pushing him away from us, the Holy Spirit. Live by the Spirit, you won't need outward law. Nor will you be in bondage to the works of the flesh. The law was good. The law gave us direction. The law is instruction. But if we live by the Spirit, that law is going to be kept automatically, isn't it? Psalm 16:8 says, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I'm going to use a spiritual analogy. Don't do this in the physical realm. And if you do, don't tell anybody I told you to do it. Supposing you have a lawn that is full of something really, really filthy. And you can use your imagination of what it might be. It could be any number of things. Now you can get your wading hip boots on and get your wheelbarrow and your shovel and go out there and clean it up. Or you could turn the water on full force and just let the water just push everything out of the way. You replace that which is filthy, that which is bad, with something that's clean and good. Ephesians 5:18 says, be not drunk with wine, in which is much dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Literally, be ye being filled. It's a continual process. It's a continual thing you have to do over and over. It's like the gas tank in your car. You don't just fill it once. You have to keep filling it up. Replace the things that are bad with the things that are good, with the presence of the Spirit. As we get stronger spiritually, the desires of the flesh get weaker. I'm going to give you a spiritual principle from the Old Testament. It's in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 3, verse 1. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it. There were two kings in Israel. Well, there are more than that, but the first king was a king named Saul. And like I said, the flesh always comes first, and Saul was a fleshly king. The second king was David. David was a spiritual king. He made his mistakes, but still he sought the Lord with all his heart. He sought the things of the Lord with all his heart. Saul represents the flesh. David represents the Spirit. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1, it says, now there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. There's a long war between our spirit and our flesh. But David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. The Spirit won out. The Spirit will win out as long as we allow him to, or as long as we keep focused on his presence in our life. As we experience more and more the good things of the Lord, why would we want the things of the flesh? Psalms 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. The children of Israel, when they came out of Egypt, they longed to go back to Egypt because of the food. But once we've tasted the manna and see how sweet it is, we're not going to want the food of Egypt, are we? We sang a song today, When All Things That Surround Become Shadows in the Light of You, and I love that song. when my will becomes enthralled in your love. Is that how it goes? When all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, what is important? What do we make important? What do we focus on? We need to focus on the things of God, of course, and the things of the Spirit. The world desires because it doesn't possess anything of value. But we possess something of incredible value. We possess the presence of the Holy Spirit. How precious is His presence to you? Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The promise, of course, only applies to believers, doesn't it? It can't apply to non-believers. If you've not given your heart to Jesus Christ, then Jesus Christ has not sent His Spirit to live in you, to guide you, to direct you. Also, the measure that He's in you will be the measure that you'll be able to resist the flesh. James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Once again, the order is very important. We don't resist the devil and he flees. We have to submit to God first. To the degree that we submit to God, to that degree, we'll walk in the Spirit, won't we? We'll walk in the Spirit and we'll walk in victory. As I said, I'm not saying we have license to sin, to do anything we want. To quote Paul, God forbid that I would say that or that you would think that. No, I'm saying that the more that we have the Holy Spirit in us, the less we'll give way to the flesh. Romans 8:37 says, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Through Him that loved us. Loved us? Doesn't He still love us? Why doesn't it say loves us? Because He doesn't change. While we're still sinners, He loved us. While we're still without strength, He loved us. Before we were born, He loved us. Before we were conceived, He loved us. Before the world was formed, He loved us. He doesn't have to prove that He still loves us, does He? He sent His Son to die for us on a cross to save us. We are more than conquerors to Him that loved us. We are more than conquerors, but only through Him. Lord God, we praise You today. And we thank You, Lord, for everything You do in our lives. We thank You, Lord, for strengthening us in Your Spirit. We thank You, Lord, for speaking into our hearts the direction and the guidance, Lord, that you provide. We thank You, Lord, for the plan that You have for us. Help us, Lord, to keep focused on Your Spirit in our lives. Lord, we thank You for Your word. And we thank You for Your presence here. And Lord, we ask You to be with us and go with us as we go about our day and bring us back safe when we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.